picture this. You are you're the CEO of a Fortune 500 company.
Okay, I'm right here.
And you just authorized this massive multi-million dollar artificial intelligence rollout, like across your entire organization.
Right, huge investment.
Exactly. But 6 months later, the productivity numbers just haven't budged. And the expected revenue bump, nowhere to be seen.
Ouch. Yeah, that's a tough board meeting.
Right. So who do you blame? Well, if you are like most executives right now, you point a finger directly at your employees.
Yeah, you say they lack the skills or they're resistant to change.
Yep, they just aren't adopting the new tools. But what if I told you the data proves you are pointing in the exact wrong direction?
I mean, the numbers completely dismantle that top-down narrative. They really do.
Okay, let's unpack this, because that is the core mystery we are diving into for today's deep dive.
And we have some incredible source material for this one.
We do. We are looking at a really insightful piece, the orgchange.ai dispatch from August 2026 by Craig Russell.
It's a fantastic read.
It really is.
Yeah.
And the mission of this deep dive is to explore how internal change agents can use this framework, the orgchange AI 9-square grid, to actually coach their organizations through this transition.
Because the central thesis here is that making AI actually work has very little to do with fixing the technology itself.
Right. The tech is fine.
Yeah. By and large, the technology is performing exactly as engineered. The failures we're seeing are almost entirely failures of, well, what they call the human architecture.
The human architecture. I love that phrasing. And I want to start with just the most staggering statistic in this entire dispatch.
Oh, I think I know which one you're going to pull.
It's from a 2025 McKinsey study. The C-suite is 2.4 times more likely to name employee readiness as the main barrier to AI adoption, rather than their own lack of leadership alignment.
Which is just wild when you look at what the employees are actually doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because meanwhile, those very same employees are using generative AI 3 times more than the leaders assume.
3 times more.
Yeah. So the readiness gap isn't pointing down toward the entry-level folks or the interns. It's pointing straight up toward the boardroom.
And what's fascinating here is just how measurable this misdiagnosis is.
Right. We have the receipts.
We really do. So HCL Tech and Omdia recently surveyed 467 senior executives, and they asked them to basically grade their own CEOs and boards.
Uh-oh. That sounds dangerous.
It is a blaring indictment of leadership preparedness. A full 87% of these executives said their board needs fundamental education on the fact that AI carries real investment risk.
Wait, 87%?
Yes.
Yeah.
Almost 9 out of 10. And beyond that, 83% said the board needs to be educated on how underinvesting could be an existential threat to the company's survival.
I mean, it is like the conductor of this massive symphony orchestra just screaming that the violinists don't know how to play the new sheet music.
Right.
But the conductor themselves hasn't even bothered to learn how to read the composer's notes.
That's a perfect analogy, because down in the pit, the musicians are quietly making up their own melody just to keep the concert going.
Exactly. They're getting the job done in the dark, while the person on the podium is just completely detached from the reality of the performance.
And that disconnect is precisely why BCG's recent survey found that CEOs and boards are diverging drastically.
Diverging on what, exactly?
On the pace of adoption, on their own competence, and on who is actually accountable for the whole thing.
So nobody wants to hold the bag?
Nobody. In fact, the anxiety around this is growing so fast that 79% of CEOs and 80% of board members are now demanding that any prospective director they hire must demonstrate a proven understanding of AI.
So they are finally waking up to it.
They are. The realization is hitting them that AI adoption does not stall at the bottom of the company. It stalls at the exact altitude where leaders stop learning.
The stalling altitude. Man, that is a powerful concept. But so if the leaders are hitting the stalling altitude, how does any actual work get done?
Well, that's where things get really messy on the floor.
Right, because what happens when these incredibly powerful and, you know, very expensive tools hit the ground level, but there is zero cohesive strategy from the top?
You end up with this situation where the tools perform in isolation, but the organization totally fails to capture the value.
Give me an example of that. Where are we seeing that leak?
Let's look at a manager's role. If the layer above the user doesn't redesign the workflow, the AI just becomes a localized party trick.
Just a shiny new toy.
Exactly. But when the design is deliberate, the results are undeniable. McKinsey tracked a massive B2B sales deployment at a large construction company.
Oh, wait.
The sales reps using an AI coaching platform saw a 4.5 percentage point lift in conversions.
I mean, in enterprise B2B sales, a 4.5 point lift.
Yeah.
That is the kind of jump that makes careers.
It's massive.
But how did they actually achieve that? Was it just, you know, a superior language model? Or a better prompt?
Not at all. The technology was standard. The difference was the structural redesign of the manager's role.
Okay, how so?
So historically, a sales manager would do a physical ride-along, right? Sit in a car, go to a client meeting, and try to give feedback based on that one single interaction.
Right, very anecdotal.
Exactly. But here, they use the AI to aggregate and diagnose specific skill gaps, like, say, a rep struggling with pricing objections across the entire team's communications.
Oh, wow. So it's looking at everything, not just one ride-along.
Yes. And then the manager was actually coached by the system on how to train against those specific gaps at scale. The value was created by redesigning the human role around the model, not the model itself.
See, that is brilliant. But compare that deliberate redesign to a sector where the adoption is just totally chaotic.
Like a legal sector.
Yes. The Dispatch brings in this data from Elib, looking at 700 legal professionals. And they found that 56% of them are using standalone general purpose AI tools regularly.
Like a ChatGPT or Claude, just on their own browser.
Right. But only 49% are using the firm-sanctioned, highly integrated AI tools.
And the fascinating part of that legal data is what happens when you survey the people who actively use both.
Oh, this is the part that just blew my mind.
Right. Because among that dual user group, 34% say the sanctioned integrated tools deliver greater impact, and only 15% say the standalone tools are better.
Which makes literally zero sense.
It really doesn't, on paper.
The firm-sanctioned tool is objectively better. The employees themselves recognize that it's better, but the inferior tool is still being used more widely. Why?
It reveals a severe adoption design problem. Think about the user experience.
Uh-huh.
If the better tool requires navigating a clunky corporate firewall, going through three layers of security approvals, and logging into this cumbersome legacy portal,
employees are just going to abandon it.
Immediately. The path of least resistance for the average worker is always the ungoverned path. If the ungoverned consumer tool is two clicks away, it wins, regardless of quality.
Yeah, water finds a way. But, you know, I have to push back on this next data point in the Dispatch, though.
Okay, let's hear it.
So they cite an Atlassian survey of Fortune 1000 executives, where 89% say AI has increased the speed of their work.
Right, people feel faster.
But somehow, only 6% are confident they can actually prove any ROI.
Yep, only 6%.
I don't buy that it generates zero return. If 9 out of 10 people are doing their jobs faster, that saved time doesn't just evaporate into the ether.
Well,
I mean, they are either doing more work, which boosts revenue, or they are logging off early, which, you know, prevents burnout and reduces turnover. So where is the financial return?
It's a fair question, but your pushback assumes that individual speed translates seamlessly into organizational momentum.
Okay, and it doesn't.
It really doesn't. Let me walk you through a day in the life of a modern knowledge worker to show you exactly where that time evaporates.
Okay, I'm listening.
The Atlassian data points out that knowledge workers spend about 80% of their time on collaborative work, but currently only 24% of AI implementations are targeting team workflows.
Wait, meaning most AI tools are just built for a single person working alone in a silo?
Precisely. So let's say you use AI to draft a massive Q3 strategy brief in 1 hour instead of 4.
Okay, I feel incredibly productive. I save 3 hours.
You do. But your company's data architecture is completely siloed. So the AI you used hallucinated a metric because it didn't have access to the marketing department's secure server.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And you email this rapidly produced, flawed brief to 3 different disconnected departments.
I see where this is going.
Right. Now, because the workflow wasn't redesigned to verify AI outputs, it takes 5 different cross-departmental meetings, a dozen long Slack threads, and a full week of revisions just to align on what your report actually means.
So my individual speed just created a massive organizational traffic jam.
Exactly. That is what they call the fragmentation tax.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't save the company any time. You just generated more unverified information faster, which required way more human labor to untangle.
That is painfully relatable.
And expensive. Atlassian models this exact drag at $161 billion a year across the Fortune 500.
$161 billion. just burning up in the space between people's desks.
Faster silos ultimately slow the enterprise down.
Which totally explains why structural organizational support is so critical. The Dispatch includes a Pearson study on higher education that just perfectly illustrates this.
Oh, the global faculty capability data?
Yes. So they looked at global faculty capability with AI. In Saudi Arabia, 86% of university leaders report providing extensive AI training to their staff.
That's huge investment.
And consequently, 86% of their faculty are rated strong in AI capability. A perfect correlation.
Yep.
Meanwhile, the U.S. had the lowest training levels in the entire global study, and only 20% of U.S. faculty are rated strong. You get exactly what you build the structure for.
You do. And all of these seemingly disparate leaks, the faster silos, the abandoned sanction tools, the untrained faculty, they all point to a single root cause.
The failure of the human architecture.
Exactly. Jill Khoury, the global chief marketing officer at HCL Tech, summarizes this perfectly in the Dispatch.
What does she say?
She states, every AI initiative is, at its core, a change management initiative. The technology is rarely what fails. What fails is the human architecture around it.
The behaviors, the trust, the willingness to work differently.
Yes. And the financial cost of ignoring that human architecture is catastrophic. HCL Tech respondents expect a staggering 43% of major AI projects started in the next 24 months to fail entirely.
Nearly half.
And yet, at the exact same time, CEOs are aggressively demanding 18-month paybacks on these investments.
Expecting an 18-month ROI with a 43% failure rate is a hallucination.
It really is.
It's like a hospital budgeting millions of dollars for a state-of-the-art organ transplant procedure, but refusing to allocate a single dollar for the patient's anti-rejection medication.
That's a great way to put it.
Right. The organ itself might be a marvel of modern medicine, but the body is going to violently reject it because the environment wasn't prepared.
It's guaranteed to fail.
If you see an AI business case that doesn't have a massive budget line dedicated to organizational change management, you're just looking at a fantasy.
Because those payback models perfectly price in the software licenses, but they completely ignore the behavioral rebuild required to actually use them.
And you can see this failure in how strategies are even communicated, right?
Oh, absolutely. An EY study from 2025 measured how the AI strategy message just thins out as it descends the org chart.
Like playing a game of telephone.
Exactly. 21% of employees below the VP level report that the company's AI strategy was never communicated to them at all.
Wow.
Compare that to just 9% at the VP level and above. The message just doesn't make it to the floor.
And it is not just the communication that is failing. It's the behavioral modeling from the top down.
The Terramind data really shines a light on this.
Yeah, look at that data from 2026.
Mm-hmm.
69% of C-suite leaders openly admit they prioritize speed over security when it comes to adopting AI tools.
Move fast and break things, right?
Right. But only 37% of administrative staff feel that same way. So the executives are the ones setting the norm for shadow AI.
They're bypassing their own security protocols.
Yes.
Yeah.
To move faster.
Yeah.
And the rest of the company is just watching them do it.
And executive behavior always becomes the cultural norm, regardless of what the official HR policy says.
Absolutely.
So the critical question for any organization becomes, how does an internal change agent intervene? How do you actually administer that anti-rejection medication you mentioned earlier?
Right. Which brings us to the core solution presented in the Dispatch, the orgchange.ai 9-square grid.
This is such a powerful tool.
It really is. It's positioned as the ultimate coaching playbook for internal change agents to actually augment organizational change management.
So to visualize this for you, imagine a tic-tac-toe board.
Okay, got it.
Across the top x-axis, you have the classic chronological stages of change management. And down the y-axis on the side, you have the three domains of business: people, process, and technology.
The brilliance of this grid is that it forces change agents to isolate exactly where the friction lives, rather than just throwing up their hands and blaming the whole system.
Let's look at the top left corner, square one, which focuses on the people row and uses John Cotter's concept of establishing a sense of urgency.
Okay, what does the grid call this square?
It labels it urgency without comprehension.
Oh, man. I feel like I've lived in that square.
Mm-mm.
This is where leaders are terrified of being left behind by competitors, right?
Yep, FOMO at the executive level.
So they generate massive pressure on the organization to move fast before they even understand what the technology actually does.
The BCG data perfectly illustrates this. 60% of CEOs believe their boards are rushing AI transformation.
Rushing it.
And the irony is that board urgency runs the absolute highest among the directors who are the least confident in their own AI knowledge.
That is terrifying.
The less they know, the harder they push.
So if the top is rushing blindly, that immense pressure lands squarely on the shoulders of the middle managers. What happens in the next stage of the grid for them?
We move to square two. This utilizes Kurt Lewin's change model, specifically his concept of unfreezing old behavior so new ones can take root. The grid calls this square. The middle is not unfrozen.
Interesting, because traditional change models assume that managers are willing participants, right? You just have to explain the why and they will lead their teams through the transition.
Exactly. But AI is fundamentally different. EY found that 53% of people managers actively worry they will not be capable of supervising an AI-augmented team.
And it gets worse. 63% of non-managers say they don't even want to become supervisors because of it.
They are actively dodging promotions.
They are. To avoid the responsibility.
Because they are being asked to supervise and evaluate a capability they do not possess themselves.
You cannot just unfreeze a manager, tell them to lead a digital revolution, and expect success when they feel deeply professionally vulnerable.
No, you can't. Which leads directly to square three, pulling from the 80-CARE model.
And for those unfamiliar, 80-CARE is a framework that breaks down individual change into awareness, desire, knowledge, ability, and reinforcement.
Right. And the grid points out that organizations are severely stuck on that knowledge phase. Square three is titled Self-Taught by Default.
Self-Taught by Default.
If the company isn't providing the training to alleviate that managerial fear, the employees are just forced to train themselves.
And the EY data confirms this reality so clearly. 85% of desk workers are learning to work with AI outside of their working hours.
On their weekends.
On their weekends. In their evenings. Meanwhile, barely half, only 52% of senior leaders have actually deployed any kind of formal training initiative.
So we are quietly outsourcing the most critical skills transition of our generation to our employees' personal free time.
It is genuinely unacceptable. But, okay, once a change agent identifies and begins to address that fear and lack of structured training in the people row, they have to move down the grid.
Right. You have to address how the work itself is structured, which brings us to the process and technology rows.
Let's jump into the process row. Square five applies Lewin's unfreezing concept to the actual workflows. The grid calls it rewire, don't overlay.
This is huge. McKinsey found that high-growth companies are 3 times more likely to have raised their AI investments by double digits and nearly 3 times more likely to fundamentally redesign their workflows.
The mechanism here is vital. If you simply take a large language model and bolt it onto a fragmented legacy process, you do not get innovation.
No, you just automate your existing complexity.
Yes. It is like trying to upgrade your internet speed by plugging a state-of-the-art, high-speed fiber-optic cable into a 1990s dial-up modem.
It's going to crash.
The data is hitting the machine at light speed, but the underlying processor just completely crashes. Adding AI to a broken, siloed workflow isn't an upgrade. It's just a megaphone for your dysfunction.
It just allows you to generate incorrect reports and bad data at 1,000 words a second.
Exactly. And if you fail to rewire the process, you crash directly into square six.
Which looks at the ability and reinforcement side of process change.
Right. The grid calls this governance trails behavior. The Terramine data shows a shocking 89% of workplace AI use is happening outside enterprise-governed channels.
The employees are just doing it in the dark.
And you cannot just scold your workforce into compliance here. 48% of workers bluntly stated they would keep using these AI tools even if they were explicitly banned by their company policy.
Prohibition displaces behavior. It absolutely does not solve it. You simply cannot ban your way to innovation.
So what's the structural fix?
The Dispatch highlights a great example from the accounting firm BDO to address this exact square. They created a standing data and AI committee that reports directly to the board on a defined, rigorous cadence.
So they built a real pathway.
Yes. You have to create sanctioned pathways that are actively better, faster, and more supportive than the shadow pathways.
Which brings us to the final major hurdle down in the technology row. Square nine, data debt caps trust.
And trust is everything. The Atlassian survey found that only 22% of knowledge workers fully trust AI to produce accurate, high-standard deliverables.
And the reason for that lack of trust isn't a mystery, is it?
Not at all. 69% of those workers say their organization's foundational data is simply not optimized for AI.
So the AI is only as good as the internal data it is fed.
We saw this in the LAP legal study, too. 71% of legal professionals say AI absolutely saves them time, but human verification of every single output remains absolutely mandatory.
Because they don't trust the data underneath it.
Exactly. The ceiling for how much value AI can create isn't set by the sophistication of the large language model you buy.
Right.
The ceiling is set below the model, buried deep in the company's own messy data architecture.
Wow. So let's pull all of these threads together. The data from the orgchange.ai dispatch makes one thing abundantly clear. What's that? When an AI initiative stalls, it is not because the tool is broken. It fails because the human architecture, the specific daily behaviors, the organizational trust, and the physical workflows has not been redesigned to support it.
That's exactly it.
And the 9-square grid is such an incredible coaching tool because it tells internal change agents exactly where to direct their energy.
Instead of just blindly blaming the entry-level workers.
Right. You have to look up at uneducated leaders generating blind urgency. You have to look at the frozen middle managers who are terrified of supervising technology they don't understand. And you have to look at your unrewired processes that are just plugging fiber optic cables into dial-up modems.
And for you, the listener, I think there is a deep, deep validation in this research.
Definitely.
Whether you are a senior leader trying to steer the ship or an individual contributor just trying to get your daily work done, recognize your own reality in this data.
If you are using ungoverned AI tools in the shadows, or, you know, if you are teaching yourself prompt engineering on a Sunday afternoon because your company hasn't trained you, you are doing something wrong.
No, you are experiencing the exact organizational friction that these models predict.
It really answers that nagging question.
Yeah.
Am I crazy or is my company doing this completely wrong? You aren't crazy.
You certainly aren't. But I do want to leave you with one final provocative thought from the dispatch before we wrap up.
Let's hear it.
There is this quick hit statistic from a PwC global AI jobs barometer hidden in the margins. It notes that job postings where AI is expected to do the basic foundational work make up 22% of the market.
Okay, 22%.
And that number is growing rapidly. Mm-hmm. However, democratized jobs where AI takes on the highly complex work are sitting at 52% and are actually falling behind.
Wait, meaning the technology is moving aggressively fast to professionalize and automate our most basic foundational tasks?
Precisely. The floor of what is considered basic competence is rising every single day. So, if AI is rapidly professionalizing our basic work, and we, as organizations, are currently outsourcing all of our AI learning to our employees' personal free time, what does this landscape look like in 5 years?
That is a terrifying thought.
The ultimate competitive advantage in the near future will not be which proprietary AI model your company pays a subscription for.
Because everyone will have access to the same foundational models.
Exactly. The true insurmountable advantage will be the human adaptability your company has managed to retain, nurture, and train.
Are we starving our greatest asset by ignoring the human architecture?
Because right now, the conductor is still yelling from the podium, the sheet music is still unread, and the musicians are left to figure out the melody all by themselves in the dark.